thousand goddamn questions, you know? I want to speak to someone in charge. I want to lodge a complaint. You have no right to make people crazy. You think I investigated the most contrite story there is, huh? If this is just nerve gas, how come I know everything in such detail? I never been to court.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you listening out there, wherever you may be listening, in the great American heartland, to the pyramidal structures on Mars. You're listening to another startling episode of Untamed Dimensions with me, your host, Adam Gorightly, and brought to you, as always, by our sponsors, the International Jewish Banking Conspiracy, undermining the world's economy since 1840. Tonight on Untamed Dimensions, we welcome Reagan Lee and Rochelle Hawks of the Women of Esoterica blog, which is a very cool blog that provides a forum for women into arcane subjects like UFOs and the paranormal to share their views. Rochelle has another blog called Beamships Equal Love, where she writes on all kinds of paranormal subjects or whatever interests her mind, and Reagan Lee maintains a number of blogs such as Vintage UFO, which is very cool as well, so I really need to say no more. We welcome now Reagan Lee and Rochelle Hawks. Are you there, ladies?
I'm here.
Yes, hi.
I got both of you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is tough.
Good deal. How's it going tonight?
Good.
Good.
Good and good. Very good.
Good and good. I guess we don't want to step on toes or... No, you go first.
I'll try to orchestrate it as best I can. So I guess the most logical lead-in question would be, how did you guys get interested in the world of esoterica and ultimately blogging your way into the hearts of America? Reagan, why don't you take that?
I don't know. I guess I'm just obsessed with both writing and expressing myself in the paranormal, UFOs, and all kinds of subjects. And so writing about them just seemed perfectly natural.
Right.
And I'd kind of been online for a long time before blogs happened, you know, with forums and message boards and that kind of thing. And the blogging thing just, at first I kind of avoided it, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I'm too good to have a blog. Now I have, what, I don't know, 8 of them or something. So
I'm just curious, Reagan, how long have you been blogging?
Oh, maybe something like 2.5, maybe 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yourself, Rochelle?
Well, I actually just started my blog maybe a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of a new blogger, although obviously I've, you know, been online for quite a while and used other aspects of the internet. I just have never had a blog before, so it's kind of a new thing to me. Although I've done, you know, I have other places where I write and stuff, just not, this is my first real blog. So it's kind of, you know, seeing all of Reagan's blogs, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just don't have that kind of discipline to have so many different
kinds. That's what you want to call it?
Well, I don't, maybe it's undisciplined. I don't know. But
other people might call it a mentally ill obsession or something. Discipline part, that sounds good.
Well, I guess it's more of a kind of compartmentalized type of thing. Like, they all seem to have a very kind of, you know, specific subject, whereas at mine, and maybe just because I'm so new at it, mine are,
uh-huh.
everything I write is just like kind of generic and falls into one category. Just, I don't know. Mine's more of a personal blog, I guess.
Right.
Rather than, you know, certain topics and stuff like yours.
Right, yeah. And my first blog is The Orange Orb, which
mm-hmm.
I had intended to, and I still pretty much keep, I discuss a lot about my personal UFO experiences and things and thoughts and sightings and kind of paranormal life. And that's why I started these other blogs, because I didn't want those other areas of interest to kind of cross over into that personal.
Right.
Even though at some level it's all personal for me. That's just how I'm made up. But it just kind of helps me not be so scattered in having all these blogs.
Right.
It's funny because I'm not that well organized or sectioned off in my life.
Yeah.
just online. Just with my blog.
Well, it seems organized.
Yeah, well, thanks.
So is this the first time you guys have actually spoke with each other?
Yeah, we've certainly communicated.
I've listened to Regan's interviews, so mm-hmm. I kind of feel like I've spoken to her. And we email quite a bit, too, but this is the first time we've spoken.
So what sparked your interest in esoteric subjects, Rochelle?
Well, I think it might sound kind of cliche, because I think it's kind of the standard answer. It seems like so many people that are interested in this now have always been interested in it, and it's true. I mean, I, you know, grew up just literally obsessed with this kind of stuff and just, you know, scouring the library for anything I could find on UFOs and ghosts and watching the In Search of shows obsessively and, you know, just anything I could. It was really all I was interested in when I was really young, like all the book reports I did and everything were, you know, on UFO books. So I really have always been interested in it. And just even with other, like, you know, death, like I remember just being obsessed with death from the time I was very, very small and reading dream analysis books when I was really young and just that whole. So for me, it's really been a lifetime interest, like it has been for a lot of people, I think.
So you were a weird little girl growing up then.
I guess so. I don't like it when people say, "Oh, I'm so weird," or so. I don't claim to be weird, but I guess looking back, that it is kind of unusual, I guess. But I did grow up
in the blog.
Weird little girl.
Weird little girls. I don't know. That might be a whole other category. Maybe we don't want to go there.
To where we're a little girl.
So, Regan, tell me about some of your strange experiences.
Oh, I don't know. It's funny that, as you well know, I've just been doing these interviews all of a sudden, like, in a row, and so I'm
mm-hmm.
kind of tired of hearing myself talk. So... you know, I just, like Rochelle and said, I've just had weird experiences my entire life and accepted them as normal or as usual, as just part of everything else and my interest in them. You know, who knows which came first kind of thing. I think one of the two things that kind of haunt me the most, I've had all kinds of things happen with ghosts and this and that, but are the two episodes of missing time I've had, because it's really scary to lose time, to have amnesia, not know what happened. And I was with my husband on both times, and
mm-hmm.
UFOs were involved. And so, you know, it's just kind of, it's a mystery, a paranormal mystery. But it's, you know, it is kind of, well, what happened? I don't know what happened, but it's kind of creepy in a way to think that, you know, 3 hours here and 2 hours there. And so,
well, give our listeners just a little overview. I know you've talked about this on mm-hmm. other programs, but just mm-hmm. kind of an overview of those experiences.
Well, the first time, both my husband and I we weren't married at the time, but we were together, and we were both very interested in all these subjects, but I didn't know a whole lot about them, not like today. You know, I'm talking about 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And UFOs weren't directly involved, but we were walking home from Barney's Beanery in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's okay. And so the usual response is, well, you know, obviously you were drunk, or, you know, come on, you know, we just went to a shoe pool, you know, kind of thing. So, and we did this a few times a week. It was just normal for us. And the walk home took, maybe half an hour, depending, you know. I mean, one night we got home, it's like 3 hours later. We had no idea. And we walked in the door, looked at the clock, looked at each other, said, wow, that is really weird. Promptly went to sleep, woke up the next day at 4 in the afternoon.
Now, were there some UFO sightings involved with the missing?
No, but right after that, I started having these intense UFO dreams where I never had them before. And I, at the time, I wasn't reading any literature about UFOs or any of the cases or anything like that. I wasn't really aware of, you know, I mean, I've heard of things like Barney and Betty Hill, and
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I wasn't that familiar with it overall. And suddenly, I mean, every night I was just having these intense dreams about UFOs. And one dream in particular I call the Geisha Lady dream. I was in a spaceship with this tall gray, only with a big wig on. And at the time, I didn't know, you know, I didn't make all those connections. And then a few years later, here in Oregon, we had the second incident. And we saw a craft at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, you know, after you experienced this missing time, did you notice any discernible differences in, you know, any physical changes or changes
no.
in your consciousness?
no.
And have you considered regression?
Yeah, I have. And, you know, we talk about that, and we really haven't gotten anywhere. We kind of go back and forth between.
Yeah.
I think it's about time. It's
oh,
interesting
yeah?
how through the years we've revealed various aspects of the experience to each other. For a while, he wouldn't tell. He just didn't tell me something, and then we would be sitting around talking with some people, and then he would just sort of casually drop, "Oh, you know, blah blah blah." I'd go, "What? Well, okay." So it's a process. It's a process of discovery for sure.
So do you feel like your husband actually consciously remembers things, and is just not talking about them, or he's just remembering them at the time and then revealing them? Or
I think it's both. I think it's a little of both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we have very strange conversations. I mean, we talk about this kind of stuff like it on an almost daily basis. So in one way or another, you know, whether it's the missing time thing or just in general, you know, black holes or what have you.
How about you, Rochelle? Have you had any similar experiences?
Definitely nothing like that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've had some, you know, interesting experiences, but no, like, missing time or, you know, I have seen some strange things in the sky, but I, you know, I really think they're probably very explainable. And actually, I kind of know they are, like satellites, and like we used to travel quite a bit in the car when I was little, and we had one of those, like a skylight, and my sister and I used to lay down in the hatchback and look up, and we used to see all kinds of weird stuff, and you know, just looking back now, at the time it was a big mystery, but I think there were things like falling stars and satellites and I mean, you know, who knows, but I think, mm-hmm. you know, I never saw like a craft or anything like that. And I've seen some strange things with my son, but I, you know, then we've seen other similar things that turn out to be weird, like lights on birds, like flocks of birds, and it is so strange looking, but we figured out what it was. And so I think the things that I've seen in the sky are probably, you know, mundane type things, but it's kind of exciting at the time.
Mm-hmm. On your blog recently, I had several entries on the Men in Black. What was that all about?
Yeah. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, and I certainly don't mean to really say that, you know, these were Men in Black experiences. The reason I even, you know, put that as a title is because they kind of reminded me of, I know there's, I think it was in England where those weird social workers with, do you guys remember that story? I can't
yeah.
remember.
Yeah, I do.
That's what that story with the, that research worker, that's what that kind of reminded me of. So that's why I called it a Men in Black. But certainly, I don't mean to, you know, insinuate that it was literally Men in Black. But
mm-hmm.
definitely, you know, I can see how someone might interpret something, like, not to say that Men in Black reports aren't real or whatever, but I can see how having a weird experience, you know, if you're at all inclined to believe it wasn't a mundane thing, could actually be interpreted like that. So, yeah, I've definitely, you know, had some strange experiences. But there's some strange people, you know, walking around the world, and they tend to interact with us for some reason.
It's a cool story. A cool story. Yeah.
It is a cool story. And
it is,
you know,
very
it's a
weird.
Kind of thing. It is, and it's the kind of thing, like, as it's happening, I think, like, why me? But then as I'm telling people, it's like, yeah, this is pretty weird. This really is weird, and it's not just, you know, that I actually allowed this person into my home just to get $30 or whatever, but, you know, that other people seem to think it's interesting and mm-hmm. silly and whatever. But
you're letting strangers into your house?
Well, what happened was we were, I got some phone calls seeing if we wanted to take part in some survey, and they would come ask us questions and give us $30 or whatever. So I said, oh, sure. And I kind of forgot about it. And this woman, the day before we were leaving on a road trip, this major road trip, kind of an unexpected road trip, shows up at the door. And she, you know, said who she was, showed her ID, and I remembered it and let her in and decided we would do this. And then she fed some information into her laptop that she had and said that my son, who's 13, was chosen to do the survey, which, I mean, you know, I mean, maybe they got our names from somewhere else, I don't know, but apparently he was chosen to do it with, you know, whatever information she got back, and she was just a weird person, and I think that's really what it boils down to, is she was just a very eccentric, bizarre person. Like, she kicks her shoes off, takes her knee highs off, and, like, puts them under my table. And just, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, you have to read the story. It really goes on and on, and it's pretty much just kind of one of those social fiascos that you just, at the time, you just kind of think, who am I? You know, what have I done here? You know, how do I get out of this? And it was kind of endearing, though. I mean, she was very sweet, but it was very weird.
Did you kindly ask her to leave?
No, she was so, I mean, if she would have been weird, you know, like, kind of scary weird, I would have asked her to leave, because we were busy packing, but she was very nice, and my son was going to get $30 for the road trip to do this thing, and whatever, so we just, at the very end, you know, I did just, a couple times, I said, well, we kind of need to get hurry, because we're busy here, and then she didn't really take that as a hint to leave, she took that as, oh, what are you doing, you know, like, the comments, what are you getting ready for, where's New York, how do you get to New York, I mean, just crazy, you know, so it was one of those, you know, boy, I really committed to something that I, you know, didn't really want to commit to, but, yeah, it was an interesting story.
So, Reagan, have you ever met any weird people?
Oh, sure, well, I'm from L.A., you know. Lived in Hollywood, West Hollywood, Topanga, all the, you know, so, yeah.
So you left us with the cliffhanger. You need to tell us the UFO story.
Which one?
you, You left off at the point you had the missing time experiences, and that you actually had a UFO sighting.
Well, like Rochelle says, you know, I have seen a lot of things in the sky,
mm-hmm.
and they're very weird and very cool and very wow. And that sounds like a song, very cool, by Patty Duke or something. But looking back, I'm sure a lot of them had, you know, very reasonable explanations. But there have been a few where, and they still may have a reasonable explanation, but they were, they're kind of out, you know, they're on the edge. All I know, the whole thing about this missing time thing is I remember it a certain way, my husband remembers it kind of the same way, and then there are some points where we veer off and have different memories, and his memory of how it happened is the memory I have, but of a different time, a different sighting, a different place. And so we have, between the two of us, these sightings that contain elements of other things, and they're all true memories, it appears to be, but they're mixed up somehow. They're reassembled in a different way between the two of us.
Sure.
That in itself is interesting. But we were coming back from this little town about nice sunny day on the motorcycle, just half an hour at the most from our home to the town. We were visiting a friend, and first of all, we get there, and it was just weird. It was a beautiful day, and we would love to be out in the woods, but it was creepy. And we couldn't figure out why we were feeling creepy, but we just did. And the guy wasn't there, and he was supposed to be there. And as a rule, we would have just waited or taken a hike or something, but we couldn't wait to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And we got out of there. Next thing we know, it's 8 o'clock at night, and we see this kind of orange orb in the sky, and it follows us.
Hence the name of your blog.
Exactly, because that's what really set me off. I said, okay, what was that thing? I have to know. And I read everything I could get my hands on about UFOs and the whole subject. And I read everything, all the debunkers, all the, just everything. Things about aviation, things about what it could have been. You know, was it some kind of weird helicopter or something? You know, I read it all. And I was really frustrated because I really did expect an answer. I kept, this is what you saw, and it's a, crop duster or whatever.
Right.
You know, this is, and they're orange, and it has this. And I have never found anything that comes close. I've found some things that are very similar, but
you mean like UFO accounts or rather
no, the object itself.
See,
yeah.
Do you find that it's similar to other UFO accounts that have orange orbs? And because I've read that before, I've seen other.
Well, there's a woman. Her name's Cindy PDX. She actually lives in Portland, Oregon, and we've been in communication, and she's gotten some orange orbs on film as a photograph, and she's had some similar experiences in terms of the dreams. We've had similar dreams of being out in an open area with other people, like a park-like setting, and suddenly we get very anxious and we know the UFOs are coming. I mean, it sounds so silly. It sounds like a bad science fiction movie, but and we start running, and there's airplanes. They look like just normal planes, but they turn into UFOs. And I just find it very interesting that we live, 100 miles from each other. She's seen similar kinds of craft, and we've had these similar kinds of dreams. It's just an interesting connection.
Perhaps you're much closer related than you suspect.
That could be.
Abductees.
Yeah.
So let's talk a bit about the blogs. Beamships Equal Love. Where'd you come up with that name?
It's actually part of the line of a poem that I wrote quite a while ago. And I think it's the title of the poem. And like Regan, I've been, you know, and I've written for years and kind of started out with fiction and stuff in college and had over the years different writing groups and things like that, and was really, really started out writing fiction and poetry. And it's just a poem that I wrote. Probably, I think I posted it at that. There was a workshop that I think now is just out of control, like the interactive poetry pages, Anne Cantelow's site, that I used to go to quite a bit, because it used to be a lot of really good criticism. A lot of other writers would post, and now I think it's just turned into, but the poems are still there. I could not believe it when I found them not too long ago, that they're, oh, like one of my books is like number 25, you know, now there's like, you know, 780,000 poems, and but it's there. And so I copied, and I hadn't written these down, I hadn't documented them anywhere else, and so I just copied them and wrote them down, and it was so many of them were about UFOs. And it was just a poem about, actually, obviously fiction, made up, going to Billy Meyer's birthday extravaganza and spitting out wine, carrying a bottle of sangria. I carried something like a bottle of sangria and spitting out orange rinds on his lawn. And I mean, it was just silly, but I just liked that. I just liked the line. So I always wanted to use it somewhere, so I thought I'd just stick it up as the name of the blog.
It's a beautiful line. There's something about it. I like that.
So I'll get that poem and I'll post it, because I've actually used other lines from that poem and other things too. It's just kind of a poem. Probably my favorite poem that I've written. So I'll post that. I keep meaning to do that.
What interested me about your blog was your little bio. You know what I'm
Who's
talking about?
Mine?
Yes.
Mine or Regan's?
Rochelle's.
Oh. Yeah.
The one that says my eyes are otter pop flush.
Yeah, I love that too. That's wonderful.
It's another poem. It's just
go ahead and read this.
Okay.
My eyes are otter. Maybe you should read it.
I don't have it in front of me. I haven't memorized it either.
Okay. And here it is. My eyes are otter pop flush. Meet my hair, a weedy medusa. You can carve me like a whistling swan, but I sing only the blueness of Superman's cave. My eyes return among married life, seven times lost, in Antarctica, lost the slots. I knit a web full of hands, yet only the lost apocalypse touches me. My wars are warm now, and my eyes are mesh bags of melting chocolate coins. What am I?
It's kind of those, you know, those riddles, those what am I riddles.
Yeah.
We had a huge book of those when it was a vintage. I don't even know. I need to find that book because it's a really cool book. But we had this huge book of these vintage what am I puzzles like that, and I think that was just, I kind of wanted to. I love those riddles, and so I wanted to write something, some poem in the line of that. So that's kind of what that is.
That's very cool. That one line sounds like the title of a Harlan Ellison story. I sing the blueness of Superman's cave.
Yeah, that is a great line. There's some really great images in that.
Yeah, well, that Weedy Medusa, that's the name of my bookstore, my Amazon bookstore, too. So that stuck with me as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I find interesting, too, is, and are you familiar with Leslie? The Debris Field and Beyond the Dial and that, Leslie.
Yeah.
With Shell and I mean, we have a lot of similar experiences and backgrounds, and, you know, like Rochelle, a background in writing and creative writing and poetry and fiction. And it's just interesting, I think, how even though we've never met in person, we've found each other and communicate and then share these things with not only each other, but, you know, whoever cares to read it. It's, you know, there's, I know this is going to sound very new agey or dippy or something, but there's I think there's really something to that. You know, exactly what, I don't know, but I don't take things like that for granted, in other words.
Uh-huh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you think about how many women, well, maybe a lot, I don't know. I mean, I guess, well, I was going to say how many, I don't have any friends that are into all of those things, like in person. I mean, you know, people separately with separate interests, but not, you know, people who are writers and write poetry and into UFOs. And so I guess it is kind of, I guess, ironic in a way, but...
Well, we finally, you know, have the ability with these blogs and the internet and everything to expand the way we can communicate. And so there's a lot more opportunities there to connect with folks, like-minded folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wonder, too, like, if we knew each other in person, would we know that we were like all these things? You know, it's not necessarily things that come up, you know, at work or... at,
yeah.
You know, if coffee shop or whatever, so
right.
I guess it provides the means
well,
for...
Yeah. Sometimes in the workaday world, you're not going to start talking about some of this stuff until you get more comfortable with a person, you know?
Right. I'm pretty... I used to be pretty... keep this to myself, but the older I get, I just don't care anymore. So... you know, people at work, they all know or pretty much know, and they pretty much, I don't think, care.
Mm-hmm.
They just sort of look at me, you know. And actually, a few of them have shared some things with me, and I think others think I'm just silly. And that's okay. I don't care. Yeah. You know? But then, you're asking me about some weird things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rochelle and I both, we write, and sometimes our pieces will appear on UFO Digest online.
Yeah.
So I was in a business on the coast here in Oregon, and I walk in and my friend introduces me to, let's say it was a lawyer, because I don't want to give this person away. And my friend said, "Oh, I want you to meet Reagan Lee. She's looking for a lawyer." And he looked at me and he said, "Reagan." Right. Now, this is an older man, extremely straight, you know, business suit, tie, the whole thing. And he said, "Reagan Lee." And so I told him what was going on, and I said, and I don't know why I said it, and I said, "I'm a writer," which is sort of, you know, pompous of me, because I do consider myself a writer, but I don't get paid or anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, and he looked at me and he said, "Reagan Lee, what do you write about?" And I said, "UFOs and ghosts." And then my friend, because I write a lot about her experiences as well, because she has quite a paranormal life. And she said, "Oh, yeah, she's written all about my haunted house and everything." And he turns to his computer screen and flips it around, and there I am.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
He says, "I read you every day." He says, "I check your blogs. I check UFO Digest to see if you have something new up." He says, "I was just reading you when you guys walked in." And then he gets up and he shuts the door because he doesn't want, you know, colleagues to hear. And then he starts telling me all kinds of interesting things.
Wow.
So that, you know, little things like that happen. And they're pretty,
the synchronicities, once you start getting involved in this type of subject matter and connecting with people. And I guess you had a synchronicity about some UFO contact ebook. Tell the listeners about that. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I was interested in the contactees. I'm just very intrigued by that whole era in ufology. And so I was doing some research on Dana Howard, who was a female contactee and writer of that time. And she'd written a lot of books, it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking on Amazon and eBay and all the usual places. And on eBay, I found one book. There was just one book listed of hers. And the bookseller lived like 2 miles from me. So that was pretty eerie. I thought that was cool. Yeah. So
Tell me a little bit more about the Women of Esoterica blog. Who contributes to that, and what type of stuff gets posted there, Rochelle?
Well, it's Regan and I. Regan? You pronounce it Regan, right?
Uh-huh.
I think this whole time I've been in my head pronouncing it Regan, so then I heard you on an interview say Regan, and so I apologize. I'm probably going to keep saying Regan.
That's all right.
Anyway, Regan and I, and then Leslie and Kithra, is that how she pronounces her name?
I assume so,
And for myself, I just post, I guess I just crazy kind of things that I think about or come across, and just some of my little musings, or I'll just post links, just anything to do with women in, you know, UFOs, women in esoterica in general, paranormal. I try to kind of make it so there's some variety, but I sometimes end up second-guessing myself. Like, is this just kind of a, you know, like I've considered putting up women in politics, and it's like, oh, that's not esoteric. So I always think I'm going to get an email from Regan saying, what are you posting that for? But I think there's, you know, there's so much that there's, I don't know, I think women are somewhat kind of overlooked in certain things like alchemy, and I guess just like, you know, the whole contactee thing. I mean, not that, I guess overlooked isn't the word, but just lesser known.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dana Howard, like I had never even heard of that Dana Howard the case at all. So that was new. And I actually purchased a book too, and it's a really cool one. It's actually published. It's one of the first Llewellyn publications, and it's inscribed, so there's her little signature, and it's a really cool one. Well, there's a whole chapter about angel hair, which is something I've been reading a lot about lately. So
I remember
when
you
emailed
me that, I was so jealous.
No, I felt like, oh, I should send this to Ryan. It's like, no, I want to read this. Maybe I'll send it to you when I'm done. But it's a really cool one. It's over it's called Over the Threshold, and
yeah.
I love it. It's what I'm reading right now, and I'm reading it really slowly because I just want to kind of. It's very contemporary. Her voice seems very. Very contemporary, and it, like, I kind of forget that it's written, you know, in the 50s, and it just very new agey, and very, like, it just seems like it could easily stand, you know, the test. It's definitely very, it doesn't seem antiquated like a lot of that type of writing does. I mean, obviously there's things in it, like the whole Space Brothers, and, but it just, I don't know. When was the book that you purchased? When was that written? The same time frame?
Yeah. I don't have the exact date, and I don't have the book in front of me. So it was in the same time frame. I think it's a later book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, later.
And this one isn't her first one.
I haven't started reading yet. I have so many books to read. I'm still reading. I feel badly. Daniel Breton's. That he co-wrote with, I think it's David Michaels, Red Moon, which is very good, by the way. But and then I ordered some Mothman books and some of Nick's, you know, Redfern, his books. I have a huge stack that I'm just trying to get through. So.
Well, cool, yeah, I'm pretty heavily into the contactees, but I never heard of Dana Howard. What was her story, basically?
Well, one thing I found interesting that's a little different, and I'm just kind of getting into the contactees, but back in, I think it was like the 30s, and she had, it's kind of this combination of like a, I found some similarities to like a Marian apparition kind of thing, but the being that appeared to her was from, said that she was from Venus, and that her name is Diane, and just imparted lots of messages of love and things like that to her. And then it was a very moving experience for Dana Howard. And then years later, she was at a church, a kind of like a spiritualist church where they did seances and things like that. And this was in Los Angeles, the being appeared again to her and was witnessed by many people.
Like 52 people, I think.
Yeah, and again, imparted these messages and everything, and then these people, and they went out to the desert, and they would look for saucers and see them, and again, witnessed by others. So, yeah, it's very interesting, but Rochelle's a little further along as far as actually reading her work, because I haven't gotten to the book yet.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know that she also was Daniel Fry, who was a contactee during that time, and he had his Understanding newsletter and publications, and she wrote for his newsletter and, you know, presented to workshops and things about her experiences. And, you know, so she was in contact and went to Giant Rock and with the other contactees. You know, she was involved in that group
mm-hmm.
of people at that time. And so it's just interesting, kind of the similar messages and of love and peace. And
there's a lot of warning messages.
Right, about the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, the whole save the planet kind of thing. But
yeah.
I wanted to keep meaning to tell you or to write to you and tell you there's, I know you had some questions at some point. I can't remember if there isn't an interview or written that about this, the whole connection to the desert with contactees. And she goes into detail on deserts and their kind of spiritual meaning and why deserts are ripe for this kind of thing. And so I definitely going to have to send you this book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does she say about the desert? What's its significance?
Just that it's kind of a borderland between, it's like a place where the veil is thin. I mean, those, you know, not my words really, but that's just kind of how she describes it. It's a place of border and a place where the veil between worlds is thin
mm-hmm.
and a place, I mean, it's just, it kind of makes sense, actually. And two, she's describing this angel hair and that Diane, this entity, appeared at first with these, with kind of a web of threads. And it's just really interesting to me, the whole idea how string theory has been described before it was ever, well, I guess at that point maybe string theory had been described, but just how there's kind of that connection in the mythological realm about things that appear later as scientific, and there's a lot of connections like that in this book, and I need to do a book review about it, I think.
Yeah.
It needs to go back into print. I mean, it really is kind of full of, it's just a lost work, I think, her whole story is. So I guess we can thank Regan for bringing it to the forefront.
Yeah, definitely. I was surprised, Regan, that you hadn't heard of Jack Parsons before.
Well,
you just can't
get to everything.
But when we talk about the desert, apparently he and L. Ron Hubbard had some type of otherworldly encounter there that a lot of people think opened up the door for all these UFOs and their occupants that have visited since then. They had, allegedly, from what I've heard, some type of experience there in 1947, just prior to the Kenneth Arnold sightings.
Wasn't Jack Parsons, he was also a scientist, right? Or a...
Mm-hmm. He was a rocket scientist, helped develop the solid fuel rocketry that later propelled us to the moon. And he has a crater on the moon named after him, and he was one of the founders of Jet Propulsion Laboratories in Pasadena.
Uh-huh. I am just fascinated by this juxtaposition of that aspect of him and
mm-hmm.
his whole occult I mean, it's just, wow. And I can't wait to learn more.
Yeah.
I just happened to stumble on it. I have no idea how, you know. And it's just, that's just, I can't wait to get into all that. You know?
Interesting stuff. Two very good books. One is Sex and Rockets by John Carter, and the other, name escapes me now.
Is that Freedom? I think we have Leslie to thank for that. She left me a comment on the Jack Parsons entry on Vintage UFO. Yep, she says, there's another book about Parsons called Strange Angel.
Yep, that's the one.
By George Pendle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
As well as Parsons writing, one was, it's called
Freedom is a Two-Edged Sword?
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he was a prodigy of Aleister Crowley. And, it
wow, I know. So
strange
who knows
stuff.
What was going on out there in the desert.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of stories about Crowley contacting some otherworldly entities and that.
Right.
Parsons.
Actually, Rochelle, didn't you write something about that?
Oh, yes, I did.
Right.
I don't regret writing that, but I got, truly too, like, writing anything about Crowley is, there's so many people who are so just set in Crowleyana or whatever. really, I mean, you should have seen the... at the that last tall site where it's like the Aleister Crowley Society, and it was one of the, it was just this crazy, it was over that article that I wrote, and it was, I have read quite a bit about him, and so I don't, you know, I just, I, what I can't stand is that whole, like, you know, he's a Satanist, and, you know, he's a, it's so silly, it's just such hype, and when I hear people say that, I just think, you know, they just have not delved into his, you know, biographies and stuff. So, but, you know, the whole idea of the lamb entity and stuff is, it, people have real set belief systems around it and are very attached to it. And I think it might be because it really kind of crosses the border into religion. So that might be why. And so I knew I was taking kind of a risk in even writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily, I have no beliefs surrounding it one way or the other. I just literally, one day I happened to notice that those little marks on his forehead looked like the eye, looked like gray eyes. And
yeah, but
kind of
the two.
Yeah, but that's a doodle.
Yeah.
Like,
that was the part,
and seriously, that's what I thought people would slam me for. You know, just the implication that Crowley was dabbling, you know, because, I mean, I don't think he was. I mean, he knew what he was doing, obviously, but that's what I really thought I would get slammed for was that title.
Uh-huh.
And nobody ever even mentioned it. And I also accidentally wrote, when I was talking about the 1947 Kenneth Arnold sightings, I wrote Kenneth Grant. And it was, you know, obviously it's not a typo, but I just, I confused the Kenneth, and nobody ever even mentioned that. So the real mistakes that I made, nobody ever even mentioned. So, yeah, that's kind of, that whole article is really, I think, how I got kind of some exposure in the whole blogging world.
And what was the title of this article?
Yabba Dabba, Yabba, what was it?
Yabba Dabble Doo, how Aleister Crowley introduced the iconic gray alien by Rochelle Hawks. And it's on UFO Digest.
There you go. Google that, folks. and I quit giving out the blog addresses because, you know, all people need to do is go to Google for...
Yeah.
Women of Esoterica and Beam Ships Equal Love and Orange Orb and what else? Other blogs?
Vintage UFO.
I love that. That's my favorite.
Yeah, thank you.
I think they're all linked to that Women of Esoterica too. I think there's links for all of those.
Yeah, there's links. And then, I've started a new blog, like Trickster Northwest, just kind of about regional weird things and folklore and things, and that's, it really hasn't taken off yet, but then I'm Mating Hedgehog, so I just kind of rant and rave about, you know, when the mood strikes me, or, you know, throw up some neat YouTube thing that has nothing to do with UFOs or paranormal stuff, but it's still pretty cool. So, yeah.
So how do we know when a blog is has taken off?
I don't know, when people just start talking about it. Yeah.
I mean, do you get in there and look at the stats and if...
You know, I do and I remember. I'm really bad about that. I know a lot of people are very good about that and into it, but I do have that, what do you call it?
Like a counter?
The thing. Mm-hmm. but I, you know, don't often check them. So. But I guess just word of mouth. You know, people will email me and say, oh, I just saw this on Vintage UFO or Orange Orb or what have you. And it seems to be Vintage UFO, Orange Orb, and Women of Esoterica, or WOE, are the three that are the more successful as far as people's interest. And
what kind of interest have you received for Beam Ships Equal Love?
Interest as well. I don't know if it's. I guess for me, I just look at to see if people comment, and I don't. You know, I don't have a counter on there. I don't know if it's. I mean, Tim Banal said, you know, have you, you know, is your blog taking off? And I don't know. I have no idea how to even put a counter on there. So I just kind of look at the comments, and I can tell. I have a poll up now, and it's. I think I had another poll when I first started, and I think it got like 5 responses, and now there's 19 responses. So I assume that there's people kind of lurking, and it's linked to at my column and some other places too, or other places that I write. So I think, you know, I think it is kind of becoming and other people link to it too on their blog rolls and stuff. So
yeah. Oh, I enjoy it immensely. So where are we going with all this stuff? Is there plans beyond blogs or books or, you know, other projects?
Well, I'm actually working on a book.
That's why I asked.
Yeah. And working on, I mean, I have an outline, and I've written, like, on Christmas Day, I wrote a just like a basic intro. And it's about this whole crypto-botanical theory or hypothesis. It's not a theory. How silly. But, and I felt for a long time like I needed to kind of keep this undercover and keep it secret because it's so weird and such a big deal. And I actually wrote to Regan and said, is this too weird? Like, is this just ridiculous? Because I have no perspective on it. And just her reaction was like, well, you know, mushrooms have been linked to you. It's like, okay, well, she didn't go, oh, my God. You know, what? You are just like, don't even go there, you know. So it's now that it's kind of out and, you know, the sun still rose the next day and stuff, I think, you know, maybe I will just take it further. And because, you know, one of the reasons I want to kind of save it for a book is to have some, you know, some support with, you know, scientific ideas, and which, you know, I pretty much know nothing about. So obviously it's going to take a lot of research. So, yeah, it's kind of a big undertaking, as, you know, I'm sure you guys both know. You both have written books, so I've never done anything like that. And I think writing a 3-page story is about as, or, you know, a 6-page article is about my speed so far. So we'll see how it goes.
And so you've written a book, Regan?
Yes, and I even have a publisher for it, and I, but I haven't done the little things you have to do, like the end notes and stuff. When I get, you know, so, and actually I've written 2, and then I'd like to, I tell myself I'm writing one about contactees, so we'll see where that one goes. Yeah.
I'll look forward to that.
I'm looking at Rochelle's poll, and I love it, but Rochelle, the hard thing is, I don't know which one to answer.
I know.
It's about language, and it's really good.
And now I wish I would have added some more. One is that the term sexy used as things that have nothing to do with sex really bugs me. I hate it. It bugs me so bad. So I wish that was up there, and I tried to edit it, and it wouldn't work. So anyway.
Well, I just put in my vote.
Our listeners need a little context.
I suppose. I suppose.
It's a poll, and I said which. Oh, you can. If you've got it in front of you, I'm not in front of the computer, so you can go ahead and read it. I can't remember.
Okay. This is Rochelle's poll on her blog. Which lame phrase expression would you most like to see go away for good in 2008? And she has I can't quite read it without. Oh, the toddler-esque. Right, apology,
like
my bad. Pimp used as a verb. That's the one I chose.
I hate it.
Hater. IMHO, in my honest opinion. Ghetto used as an adjective. Or the morphing of celebrity.
Celebrity couples' names, like Brandon.
There it is, yeah, because it cut it off there. Anyway, they're all really good choices, and I had a hard time deciding which one.
When did you choose pimp?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that. We got a flyer. It said, it was like for automotive work. Is it pimp your new year?
Yeah, that's a flyer.
No. And I just see these old ladies living next door to me getting this flyer. I'm so offended.
I know.
Pimp your new year. No, thank you.
No.
Would not like to pimp my new year. It's just gross.
I know.
It makes me mad. It's just dumb.
Ladies, we're about out of time here.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like you need to...
We were ranting and raving at the end there.
Sounds like you need to continue this conversation with each other when we hang up here.
Maybe.
Hey, so hey, thanks for coming on. Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you, Adam, so much.
And have a good night.
You too.
Thanks.
Well, folks, that wraps up another fun, amusing, and entertaining episode of Untamed Dimensions. Join us here each and every week for the continuing adventures of the Starship Psychopath. So good night. God bless. Keep those cards and letters coming, all of you out there in the great American heartland, to the pyramidal structures on Mars. Until that time, Maxwell, until that time.
Come on, a promesa, it is two. Come on, manana, David Arno. Come on, a sunrisa, it is two, I see, it is two. Say that a spit answer, it is too. Come on, you be a fresca in this mono. Come on, a fabrice, it is too. I see, it is too. Well, agua en mi fuente, eres tú, el fuego de llegar, eres tú. Come well fly go and mail gay. It is true. El Chico day me pan. Come on a poema, it is true. Come on, a guitarra in la noche. Come on, a horizonte, it is two, I see, it is two. It is. home. Well, agua and mi fuente. Eres tú el fuego de llegar. Eres tú como el fuego en mi vida. Eres tú el chico de mi pan.
This has been a Filmwaves presentation, darling.